Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Mike, how are you today?
Doing good.
Today I thought we would talk about something that is probably on a lot of people's minds, and it's to do really with the rally that we've seen in the stock market during the month of April. And at one point in mid-March, the stock market was down about 34% across the world. And since that time, things have come back quite dramatically. And I just even looked at the global portfolio as of yesterday, and it was down only 15% in the year 2020. So things have come back almost 18%, and in percentage terms, it's probably even higher than that, 20, 25%. And I think a lot of investors are wondering, given all the bad news, what the heck is the stock market doing going the other way? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a bit confusing. I was reading today that April is in line to be the best month since 1974 on the S&P 500. And this is in the middle of a pandemic. So there's a lot of things that have helped out this time. So we'll go through some of the good stuff and some of the bad stuff that's gone on. The government has stepped in and have stepped in really early. So what you've seen is the government has been very proactive on this. They have money to unemployment is something we're stuck with. But the government has programs that are very quick and very easy to access for people. We're going to pay price down the road for that, but we know for the immediate solution, it was pretty quick. They've created liquidity on the marketplace. They've lowered interest rates very quickly. They didn't hesitate at all. This wasn't dropping things by quarter point. They dropped interest rates right down. So they created a lot of liquidity on the marketplace. Other things, you have... Landlords are now working deals with tenants. So usually you'd find a bunch of businesses would be going bankrupt. But right now you're in a very weird situation because there's no use on trying to foreclose on or trying to kick a business out of your real estate investment because you won't have anyone to fill it up again. Having everyone in the same boat really helps.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading a story about a restaurant in New York City, and this is an individual who's had the restaurant for 20 years, small restaurant, does quite well, survives. And they had to shut down the middle of March. Her current strategy right now is to basically, once we're allowed to reopen, they will reopen and see what the world looks like at that point. And she made the one comment about, I'm really willing to run the risk with my landlord of not paying the rent because who are they going to replace me with? And, my plan would be to start paying the rent back as soon as I can, but right now I don't have the resources to. But my guess is my location will still be available because I hope to be one of the few businesses that can reopen. And so it just gives you a different sense on how this whole process we're going through is completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. Markets are very unique. And a lot of times we talk about markets being efficient, right? We always talk about the efficient markets. We were at a dimensional conference a few years ago, and I think it was Ken French who went and said at that time, efficient doesn't mean correct. People always get confused between this difference of saying, well, if the markets are efficient, they should always be exactly right. That's not what efficient means. Efficient means that the world is this great processing machine. If you think about the power in someone's mind, computers have always tried to be as strong as a brain, and they still haven't got there. And the market is created by, there's 7 billion or so people in the world. There's probably a billion people in the marketplace. Those billion people, all their minds are working together to come up with an efficient price of those stocks. And it's usually a pretty good estimate. And in March, when everything first hit, we didn't know that the government was going to react. We didn't know what was going to go on. We didn't know if landlords were going to be involved in all this and help out. So March, it was looking at the worst case scenarios. That's what was built into the price. As time went on, we saw how people were dealing with it, and the price has gone up.
The other piece that I think we always have to remember, and this is, it's one of those things that's very difficult to figure out. The economy and the stock market are very different. And I was just going through a study that talked about those countries that had the best GDP growth over different time periods. And what came out of it was you would think that their stock markets also did the best, but that wasn't the case at all. In fact, the better your economy did in this particular, in all these studies, the worse the stock market did in your country. And so sometimes there's a bit of a disconnect. And right now we've got a huge disconnect. I also think part of it is that the stock market is always looking out 6 months as much as it can. And certainly if we look back at the middle of March, we would look at it and go, 6 months out, who knows what's going to happen here. Even today, it's still tough 6 months out, but we're starting to see maybe a little tiny light at the end of the tunnel. Although I'll say it's very small. I mean, you know, what are the numbers today? Over 30 million Americans unemployed. That's probably a third of their workforce. But let's look at some other things. What else is impacting the market?
Well, what you see is, again, as you see other countries start to recover, again, that gets built into the market price too. So as we start to see China come out of it, as we see South Korea come out of it, that gives us some, as you said, the market is an anticipation of the future. So when you see that other countries can turn the corner and people can actually get back to work in these other countries, you can go and say, okay, 6 months out to 9 months out, in our country, we're going to see that same experience, right? And when this first started, we didn't see that experience yet. Right. When this first came up in March, we didn't know if this ever comes to an end. But we do see in other areas in the world, there is some type of end to it and business does restart again.
2 days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who is one of the top bond traders in New York. And he made the comment, and he loves bonds. I mean, that's all he's done in his entire life is trade bonds, is, you know, he's got a big percentage of bonds in his portfolio. And he made the comment to me. He said, I don't think I could add a bond to my account now. I'm only putting stocks in it. And I said, what's happened to you? You've always been a bond guy. And he said, well, the interest rates are so low. Why would I sign up to be guaranteed to lose money after taxes and inflation? He said, I just can't do that for myself or my family. He said, so I've got to put it into stocks, even though they're really volatile. He said the dividend alone from the stocks is far more than what I'm going to get in from the bonds. And he's right.
And also the thing we run into is sometimes we take the average of the stock market. We don't realize that that entails a lot of, if we say the market's down, you know, 15%, it doesn't mean every company is down 15%. There's going to be some companies that are down quite a bit. I mean, you look at, I can't see anyone ever taking a cruise again, but you see those companies, eventually they will, when those will come back. But those companies like Carnival and all those have been, you know, torn apart.
A lot of those stocks are down 50 to 70%, whether it's cruise lines, airlines, hotels, Las Vegas, all the casinos. Even retailers that didn't have a very good online presence, like the Gap and Macy's. And then in Canada, we've seen the destruction of the oil companies and the impact there. When the price of oil gets so low, it doesn't even make sense to take it out of the ground. So, but the market reacted to that and drove those companies' stocks down 50 to 70% or more.
Yeah. And there's some companies where you see the future is going to be awesome. I mean, you look at I've started, I was a mall shopper, right? I did occasional online shopping, but I didn't do it very much. I didn't enjoy the experience. I like to get things right away. I like to pay my money and have it in my hand. I've had to get used to Amazon. It's not that bad waiting the day. It's very easy. All my credit cards now on my computer, I just press a button. I look at my phone and my face comes up and it says paid. And it arrives at my door the next day. It's pretty efficient. And going forward, I'll probably continue to shop that way. So the future comes like Amazon. As we're doing this recording, we're using Zoom technology, companies like that. I see a really fantastic future for these companies.
It's funny how everything changes, right? You know, think back. We used to, I was around and, you know, when we were using 8-tracks, and then it became cassettes and records, and then we had CDs, and now even CDs are gone. It's all, you know, online streaming. The world just keeps changing and evolving. You talk about you and malls. You know me, I'm a crazy shopper. But, you know, so I couldn't go to a mall, so I went online. I ordered some shorts from Lululemon. I got 2 pairs. And one fit great, the other was horrible. And I just sent them back. And if I compared that to having to go to the mall, you know, probably take an hour or 2 hours out of my day to go in, try it on, drive down there, find a parking spot, the whole thing. It was much easier ordering it online in half an hour. And then I got to send it back. And it, you know, I had Ingrid drop it off at the FedEx and we're done.
So in essence, the future of business is not doomed. It's still there. It just may be different.
It's going to be different. So where does that leave us? You know, the stock market again is not down anywhere near where the economy is. Stocks are being optimistic. I think they're being too optimistic. But as you and I both know, we've been proven wrong on making predictions time and time again. I think we're going to go back and test those lows we had in March, maybe even worse. But who knows? I think there's more volatility ahead. We're going to have, you know, things have calmed down a little bit, but we're still seeing swings of plus or minus 2 in a day.
Yeah, I mean, a few things that we're sure of is, technically speaking, a recession is 2 negative quarters of growth. The first is going to be January through the March. The next one will be April through June. And it's going to take them a month to get the numbers out to tell us we're in a recession. We all know we're in a recession now, but it won't be official until we get to the end of, July, when they're going to announce it. And we know that the thing that brings us out of a recession is the stock market. Always has. And it always will and still will. So at a certain point through this recession, the stock market's going to kick in. It's going to start to move upward. That's going to signal the end of the recession and things will get back to normal.
It'll be good when it does. I think we're all tired of working from home, and not just working from home. Working from home is okay. It's not being able to leave the home that's probably the bigger restriction. But I was reading that New Brunswick is going to allow families to social distance with one other family. So you have to choose which family you're going to social distance with, and you can't change. You can't start with one and then switch to another. So there will be some interesting discussions as to which family you decide to social distance with as your first family.
There'll be a divorce rate amongst families.
Well, I think so. I think I'm going to choose the person that has the biggest house, the biggest backyard, and is a really good cook.
We're going in the summer. Make sure they have a pool.
Exactly. Listen, I think that's good for today. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart with TMFG from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management.
You have been listening to the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.